Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Puerto Rico could run out of money by July. The U.S. territory is more than $70 billion in debt. Its unemployment rate is around 12%, and many of its people are fleeing the island in search of better opportunities. NPR's Greg Allen and Marisa Peñalosa have been reporting in Puerto Rico. You'll hear their stories this week on NPR. They're with us now. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And Greg, let's start with you on the economy. Why are things so bad in Puerto Rico?
Well, you know, Jeremy, a lot of it has to do with history. You know, Puerto Rico, I think most people know it's a territory, and for decades, it's really been dependent on the U.S. It was a rural island that was dependent on agriculture for many years, but then after World War II, they spent a lot of time and money industrializing, bringing in factories, looking to manufacturing. And in recent years, globalization and changes in U.S. laws have changed the economic and financial environment on the island and hit them very hard. They've lost a lot of jobs. Many jobs have left other shores. And there's a large public sector in Puerto Rico, public employees, and that shrank as well. There's been 20,000 people laid off in recent years there.
And now the government there is about to run out of money. Pretty serious at this point.
It is, and it's the culmination of decades of financial mismanagement. I mean, for many years, a succession of governments in Puerto Rico have run budget deficits, and they paid for them by going to Wall Street and selling bonds. But you've had this sustained downturn that's gone on now for 25 years or more, and people have been leaving the island in droves in recent years. So as that's happened, Puerto Rico has seen its revenues fall farther. Tax evasion has turned out to be a huge problem that they can't get their hands around. The island has been able to collect just over half of the sales taxes that's been due to it in recent years. We heard about that in San Juan recently when we talked to Sergio Marswatch. He's an economist with the Center for the New Economy. And this is what he had to say about tax evasion.
You could see doctors here who would charge you on a cash basis only. You know, we're talking, you know, people who went to Harvard Med, Johns Hopkins, you know, and they would have this sign, you know, that said, no checks, no credit cards, no ATM cards, just cash.
You know, so the upshot of this is that Puerto Rico is very far behind on payments that are due, and it's going to run out of money in July. So this is very serious.
And what does that mean if Puerto Rico runs out of money? What does that look like in reality?
Well, you know, we're talking government shutdown, and we don't have to go too far back to see an example of what happens. In 2006, something similar to this happened where there was an impasse. They ran out of money. It was earlier in the year, and at that time, they laid off 100,000 public employees. All the government agencies and the schools shut down. The only thing that remained open were like police, fire, and some emergency medical services. And that went on for a couple of weeks until the legislature raised taxes. They imposed a sales tax that Puerto Rico now has to this day. And they use that to then go to Wall Street and get some money, emergency loans from banks.
So more serious, though, than a government shutdown would be in this country. We remember the government shutdown not too long ago here in the mainland United States when the national park shut down and certain things happened. But people didn't lose their jobs in huge numbers.
Right. And part of the problem with Puerto Rico is that there's just no way out. I mean, here it was a political problem here. And once the politics were ironed out, they were able to fix it there. Politics alone won't solve it in Puerto Rico. What the government really wants is what the states have on the mainland, which is the ability to take their public institutions and throw them into bankruptcy, like what we saw with Detroit. We've seen this with other cities and other municipal bankruptcies in the U.S. That's not allowed under the law. A court recently told Puerto Rico they can't use bankruptcy in that way. Mm. It's appealing that decision now, but it's also going to Congress, asking Congress to change the law to allow it access to bankruptcy to help it get out of this mess.
Now, I can just hear listeners hearing all of this, especially listeners with ties to Puerto Rico, saying, wait a minute, you're only telling part of the story here. There have got to be some good economic indicators going on in Puerto Rico. Marisa, what did you see when you were down there? Anything positive in terms of the economic outlook for Puerto Rico?
Yes, there's some positive stuff going on. While we were there, we traveled around the island to talk with people about a growing local food movement. And it could potentially help the economy by reducing jobs and also food costs. They're super high, and so a local movement could bring it down. It's mainly a grassroots movement. The government is actively promoting it, so that's good. But we spoke with a lot of young people who are getting into the food business, whether they're growing food or running a restaurant using locally grown produce. It's kind of what we've seen here in the U.S. and on the mainland, a growing foodie movement. But in Puerto Rico, it's even more important because of its history. One of the farmers we met is Ricky Cruz. He's 33. He's an organic farmer, and he told us that he is doing what he loves doing, farming.
Es una buena oportunidad para muchos jóvenes.
It's a good opportunity for young people. I think that they're yearning for that contact with the land. And Puerto Ricans are also starting to think about a healthy diet.
También muchos están pensando en su alimentación primero.
And Jeremy, like in the U.S., people on the island are becoming more aware of where their food comes from, and they're paying attention to their diet and rejecting processed foods.
So what kind of food are they growing there in Puerto Rico?
Well, they're growing a lot of different things. They're growing zucchini, carrots, onions, lettuce, eggplant. The island's so diverse geographically, geologically, that pretty much anything grows. And coffee is also having a revival, particularly specialty coffee.
And if I can jump in here, yeah. Jeremy, you know, the other thing we've heard is that the government has been spending a lot of money and putting a lot of energy into trying to boost agriculture in Puerto Rico now. They've been spending millions of dollars in recent years on incentives to boost production on crops like commercial crops like rice, coffee, and sugarcane. And sugarcane, of course, has very special importance to Puerto Rico. And you know that, the reason why, right?
Rum.
You got it.
Rum. Well, and on that note, Greg, you know, things we know about Puerto Rico, they're well known, obviously, for their rum. They're also very different from people who live here in the mainland, the U.S., in their views. They are part of the U.S., but a lot of Puerto Ricans don't necessarily feel that they are part of the U.S. How do they feel about the mainland U.S. right now?
Well, it is. You're right. It's a very special status. I mean, it's a territory. Now, that sounds kind of that word has a negative connotation to some people, even on the island. You know, I think you hear people refer to it much more as the Commonwealth, you know, which it is also. But because of its unique relationship, the people there do not vote for president. You know, they don't pay U.S. taxes, but they do pay taxes to the state of Puerto Rico, the territory of Puerto Rico. And so there is a high burden, tax burden on them. But in terms of how they feel, they feel like they're part of the U.S., but not part of the U.S. They actually have a sense of sovereignty that they would like. Many people on the island still would like to have their own control over things like international agreements. And there's a real division on that issue of status. It always comes back to that in Puerto Rico. What status should the island have? And they're still very much divided on that. Should we be part of the U.S.? Should we be not? Or something in between?
NPR correspondent Greg Allen, and we've also been speaking with senior producer Marisa Peñalosa. Their stories on Puerto Rico's economy are airing this week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. We'll stay tuned for those. Greg, Marisa, thank you very much.
A pleasure.
You're welcome.